Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. I'm so excited today to welcome Slade Robertson, a fellow intuitive. And you guys know how much I love talking to other psychics. It's just fun to talk shop and find out all the ways that we're different and also how we do things the same. And Slade is a very cool guy. He's a professional intuitive and an author and hosts a wonderful podcast called Shift Your Spirits. And he really focuses on mentoring emerging intuitive psychics and healers. He has a lot of cool programs available on his website that we're going to talk about too. So if you're interested in learning how to brush up and focus your own intuitive skills, I recommend that you check out his stuff. So welcome, Slade.
Thank you for having me, Lisa.
Oh, I'm so happy that you're here. I really do love talking to other psychics. It's so fun for me.
Very cool. I like talking to other psychics too.
Cool.
And I like letting everyone hear us talk.
I know. It is so fun, right? So I think it's one of those funny things, like people tend to think that it's like, I don't know, glamorous or like it's how psychics are on TV, and the reality is just kind of more normal anyway, I think. Let's hear from you about your story. How did you come into your gifts and start this journey?
Well, I've been doing this for about 12 years now, and I never intended to become a professional intuitive. My first impulse, my kind of marching orders from spirit, was to simply talk about my experiences with spirit guides and intuitive experiences, creepy paranormal things that happened in my childhood. And so I was coming from the place of being an author. And my first goal was simply just to kind of publicly write and share some of my experiences. And I tucked it away in a dark corner of the web where I thought no one would see it, and just to get it out of myself. And what do you know? A lot of people were Googling for it. And I started to get a lot of readers following my blog, and people asked me if I could connect for them and on behalf of them, speak with their guides. And, you know, I was kind of like, I guess I could try. And so I tried. And what do you know? I can. And I've been doing it now for over a decade.
That's great. That's a cool story. I love how you talk about coming out of sort of the spiritual closet, you know, the psychic closet, because I think a lot of us as psychics feel like we have to hide our gifts when we're younger. And there's some incredible freedom and pleasure about coming out of that to the whole world.
I think it's a hurdle that everyone faces, and they all kind of have their own version of it. You know, I mentor a lot of people who are at that point. And one of the things that I always notice is, in hindsight, you nearly always think, God, what was I waiting for? Because the reward of doing this kind of work becomes its own momentum, you know, and its own kind of motivation. You can't imagine not doing it once you do it. You know what I mean?
I do. I think, too, it's one of the best sort of side effects of opening up to this part of ourselves. I mean, I like you, I really love to work in service of other people, but it's really handy to have, you know, our intuitive gifts online for our own guidance all the time. I mean, it's a good perk.
Yes, I also benefit from seeing the advice that other people get. You know, sometimes I'm retro engineering the advice I give other people for myself.
I know.
And you're sort of forced to walk your own talk a little bit. You know, like if you're going to tell people to do all these wonderful things to change their life, then you kind of have to be willing to do a lot of that stuff yourself.
It happens to me like at least a couple times a week when I'm telling somebody a message that's coming through to one of my clients, and my guides are smacking me on the back of the head and going, are you listening? This is for you too. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit, like your, you know, a lot of people really are, psychics and me, in fact, our clairvoyant, so we kind of see things. But I know that you are more into clairaudience and claircognizance, and I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I experience most of my information comes to me in the form of language, either little snatches of what I call shining sentences, sometimes these really perfect, almost fortune cookie like sentences come through and you think, wow, you know, that sounds really good. they come in fully formed and, you know, I jot those down and share them. I also do a lot of automatic writing, because that seems to be the best way for someone who is claircognizant, which is, you know, just where you kind of get an instant download of information. Somebody asks you a question and you sort of turn for the answer, and what do you know? It's there. It just appeared like I Dream of Jeannie special effect, you know, out of nowhere. And it's, when we talk about clairvoyance, it's really easy to talk about the language of observing that, because of film and television, you know, we think about pausing things and zooming in and going backwards and freeze framing and all that kind of stuff. And it's very easy to describe what you see to another person, you know, as a way of conveying information. And so with claircognizance, it's a little harder to isolate that moment when it happens or when it comes through. And so I feel like with automatic writing, it's one of the best tools to just really quickly take information that is suddenly there out of nowhere and transcribe it into language that you can share with someone else. So that's kind of the way that I work. I'm not always really sure anymore what's clairaudient and what's claircognizant. I just do it so often that it's more about just getting in and getting the information. And as long as it's impactful and helpful, I'm cool with whatever it is that comes through.
All right. So I think claircognizance for me, it's that knowing, like you don't know why you know, you just know. And
yes.
And the clairaudience is really like the other voice that's in your head, you know, that's not your voice. My guides have a very clear voice. That's not me.
Right.
And my inner voice is like more neurotic and loopy, you know, and kind of like busy mind, you know, and my guides come in really clear. I actually feel like a direction when my guides come in, when their voice, it's almost like a certain part of my brain or a certain side of my head, where the energy comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just what happens for me. But I think you're right. And, you know, the better we get at it and the more practice we have, they kind of all blend in so that you're all of your senses are in operation.
Yes, I think we do. We have a little bit of everything. You know, everybody probably has a little bit of all the clairs. I think all of us are, you know, empathic to a certain degree, especially if we're doing this kind of work.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of have to have a base level ability to tune into people, period, and to, you know, kind of connect with them emotionally.
I think you're right. At least the really people that have like healer, and you know, like I think some psychics aren't empaths. Like some of the old school ones, like I wonder about Edgar Cayce, even though I'm a huge fan, you know, like was he really an empath?
True.
You know, he was maybe not him, like some of those old school trance psychics, but I mm-hmm. think people like you and I who are really invested in helping people, you know.
Yeah, I would say that you're right. I never really thought about that, but like the trans channels are really not necessarily performing that action for one person. They're either doing it for someone who's transcribing it, or they're recording it, or they're doing it for more of a general audience. Whereas you and I probably do it in more of a counseling like context, where we're working one on one, you know, and focusing it on one person.
Right.
So yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Cool. So, you know, I know that you work a lot with helping people, you know, find their own way. And I'm really, so curious about this class that you're running, this program that you have, Reboot Your Energy, which is really about how sort of helping people recover from depression, because I find so many sensitives struggle with depression and anxiety. Do you notice that too?
Yeah, and in particular, the rebooting your energy, it was, I started to notice this winter that there seemed to be kind of a theme in the advice that was coming through in readings. A lot of people presenting with the same complaints, like feeling disconnected from their creativity, feeling like they couldn't really hear their guides, feeling and kind of more of like a low level depression, meaning, obviously, you know, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a medical professional, so I'm not really attempting to address someone who may have clinical depression. And I'm not saying that this would be the only thing that you would need for something that's more serious. And, you know, if you have those issues, you know what they are. But I'm talking about the kind of popular culture use of the word depressed. You know how we say that to one another and we're like, I'm depressed. And what we're really talking about is it's more of a low level sense of dissatisfaction and disconnection, right? Yeah. It's seasonal for a lot of people. It's triggered by the holidays and, you know, stress and bad weather and, you know, all that stuff. And we kind of tend to retreat a little bit internally and, you know, hibernate more and all that kind of stuff. And so I was noticing that there was kind of a theme that was coming through in the readings. And so whenever that happens, whenever I see a pattern like that, that's usually a sign to me that, like, okay, I've said this over and over now 3 or 4 times, I need to say it to everyone. And so I just did a podcast episode about it at the end of December, kind of right before the first of the year. And it wasn't really even that intentional. I didn't think of it as a New Year's, you know, resolution kind of thing, but it really does go with the energy of that if you want to use it for that. So what it basically boils down to is this idea that when you are dissatisfied with all these really upper level chakra issues, right? Like the divine issues, the intellectual issues, the creativity, the intuition, the, you know, self-expression, we're usually aspirational from like the heart chakra up, you know what I mean? Like we're really, especially if we're on this path and we're trying to learn and improve ourselves, it's all this stuff spinning up in the air. It's like, I almost picture it like satellites around the earth or something. You know, you've got so many things spinning around up there and it takes energy to keep that all moving. And I think that with some of us, we have a tendency to keep adding one more thing and one more thing and one more thing. And like any piece of technology, one of the easiest ways to fix it when it all starts to buffer and spin out is to just kind of unplug, take it all the way down to the bottom, and then bring it back online again. You know, like how many things are fixed by that, right?
Oh my God. And I love what you were talking about the chakras, because I use the chakras a lot in the work that I do and with people. And I think, you know, so many sensitives are so upper chakra, like where that's our comfort zone. And yet the problems that we have are in the lower three. And I noticed the our bodies, our emotions, and our sense of self, right? And I noticed a lot of your recommendations are about kind of coming back to that. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, I think the basic idea, the premise of this reboot, and I guess I kind of put it out there as like a 3-month challenge. I don't like to do things in 1 month period. I think that there's a whole other show I could do about why you need to do things for 90 days instead of 30 days. But let's just, you know, go with my suggestion that you do this for 3 months. The idea is to ground yourself. You really need to get back into that lowest level chakra. You know, you need to walk barefoot in the sand and, you know, really get into the physical body and the basics, covering the basics, right, of being grounded. And so for me, that if you can walk, you know, if you don't have any health limitations, if you get up and walk around in your daily life and walking is something that you are free and able to do, then I really just recommend one of the best ways to reground yourself is to do kind of a walking meditation. Don't make this a big, huge fitness goal. Don't make it about losing weight. Don't make it about buying a new outfit at Lululemon before you do it. Just find somewhere, you know, that maybe has a nice view that you can go walk for 30 minutes every day, you know, and it may not happen the very first time you do it or the second or the third, but at some point when you get back into that body and you start regrounding yourself in the physical, all the other chakras start to come back online and light up again. And you start to receive messages again. You start to feel creative ideas start to come to you. Those little voices that you talked about start to talk to you again. And, you know, and whisper, wouldn't it be cool if I did this kind of thing? And so that's kind of one part of it. The other part I combined that with was, do you remember the Artist's Way morning pages?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody
big
was.
Fan.
Yeah, me too. Right. And so who knew? It's been like 25 years since we were doing that. Right. And I sort of have gone through this resurgence of using morning pages to kind of get my creativity back online. I think it's a great way to deal with writer's block or intuitive issues. Like if you feel like, oh, I normally, you know, get this great sense of what my guides are trying to communicate to me, but right now they're not speaking to me. What's going on? So I think in combination with doing this practice, this simple walking meditation practice, doing a simple morning pages routine where you just, you know, set a timer for 15 minutes and free associate and write and bring that inner voice channel back online as well. That's my reboot in a nutshell.
Good. Yeah, I really like that. And for people that aren't familiar with morning pages, maybe you could just share like a little outline on how you do that.
Yeah, great. Okay. Well, the idea comes from the book, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. She deserves credit for putting it out there into our consciousness, and we've all taken it and done different things with it. I remember Oprah famously, you know, called it gratitude journaling and kind of had her own spin on it, where you actually use your journaling ritual just to record things that are positive and happy and good that you're grateful for, which is, you know, a good use for it. But generally, I like to suggest that you don't make a lot of rules. The idea is that you simply sit down first thing in the morning, maybe while you're having your cup of coffee, you set a timer for 15 minutes and you simply write whatever you want to write, whatever comes to mind. If you, nothing comes to mind, write nothing comes to mind, you know, until it does. The idea is to kind of lubricate this internal dialogue with yourself. Maybe you write down your dreams, you know, maybe you write down what your intentions are for that day. Maybe you complain, you know, and vent. It's all good. There's no real rules. The only rule is that you do it daily and do it for a brief amount of time. You know, you don't need an hour to set aside to do this. And, you know, if you want to do it at the end of the day, do it at the end of the day. It's not morning pages then, but it's the same. It's the same concept. It's a very simple exercise. I know there's entire centers devoted to proprioceptive writing, which is a really highfalutin term for this free associative writing. But a lot of people use it as a therapy tool, a creativity tool. It's a really simple, impactful thing that you can do to really reboot that part of your brain.
Yeah, I love it. And I love it in combination with, these two things are such great ideas. They're tried and true. You know, you don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to have a lot of extra time to walk and write, you know. And I think that probably, you know, especially combining them would really give you a powerful opportunity to begin to reconnect, you know. And I notice that happens to me. Like I get so busy, you know, what it's like running your own business and, you know, family and kids and all this life, that busyness of life that we have around us, it's so easy to kind of pull the plug on our relationship with ourselves and then on our relationship with source, with God, you know. And I love it that it would seem like if you really practice those things for 90 days, and I totally buy into your 90 days, it's like that's how long it takes to really establish a habit and rewire your brain and, you know, change your inner way.
Yeah.
It's like that reconnecting back into the self, which we lose, right?
Yeah, you're right. And I didn't even think about the fact that, you know, if you have kids or lots of other people who are priorities over yourself, the idea of even being by yourself for, you know, we're talking about a total of 45 minutes, right? Walking for 30 minutes, journaling for 15. For a lot of people, that's a huge amount of self-care. That they've been missing, but it's a doable amount of time that I think anyone can carve out if they really want to find it.
When my kids were little, I they're grown ups now, but when they were little, I used to have to lock myself in the bathroom. I would get in the tub and lock the door because it was the one place they wouldn't bother me. Mom's in the tub. We're not going anywhere near that, you know.
Yeah, so. I have seen that image so many times in film.
It's true.
It's like the panic room for moms.
It is. It's the panic room for moms. It is, because they just don't. They just. It's the one place they really just won't follow you in there.
That's great.
So, and I love too. Like the, you know, I think that walking just brings up breathing. You know, like we forget to breathe, and kind of loosens up our body in a particular way that's so powerful with grounding. And I know there's just been a lot of talk lately in sort of the psychic world about grounding. I wish we could all walk barefoot, because I really feel like putting your feet on the bare ground is like really the best way to do it.
Preferably on a sandy beach or something, or beautiful grass.
I live outside Boston, so that's not happening this time.
Right. This time. Yeah. Well, and you know what? You might have to modify this time of year if you are somewhere up north. You know, at least maybe there's like an indoor track somewhere, or you know, there are those people who walk the malls, and I would choose doing that over feeling disconnected and dissatisfied and like I just needed to change something. That's, you know, it's a little thing and it sounds whiny, but when you're feeling that, it feels like it's never going to go away. And this is a way to make it go away.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So what happens when you try this? Like, who's tried this and had a kind of miracle story with this?
Well, I've had some people that have started to write me back, you know, the first few people that I was telling this to, right? Like back at the beginning of the winter, some of those clients, I really, really held them to the accountability of kind of writing me and telling me what was happening along the way. And it's funny because if you get an email from them early on, they're like, okay, well, that was kind of anticlimactic. It's like, you've been doing it for 2 days, girl. And it's really weird because it creeps up on you how much better you feel. It's kind of like you don't notice it until you notice it. And then you realize that it's been happening longer than you've been consciously aware of it. That idea of like, oh, there's someone in my head now speaking and they're not complaining. I'm starting to have ideas. One lady wrote to me and she said, you know what? I took my phone with me and I was going to listen to music and podcasts while I was doing the walking. And she said, I ended up now I'm just taking notes almost the entire time I'm writing, because I'm just downloading so many ideas and, you know, creative impulses coming in. And, I would say that, the fitness thing is probably, that's where we're like slipping in something really super healthy and getting away with it, not feeling like much. But the benefits of walking are so, so close to jogging and running without feeling like that big of a deal. So I feel like some of these people are going to come back in 90 days into it and be like, oh, wait a minute. You know, I lost 10 pounds. When did that happen? Or, you know, we might see something like that. But the biggest stories that I'm hearing, and it seems to be a pattern, is this idea of I'm getting ideas. I feel like these hopeful solutions coming in from all directions.
Wow. Like they feel themselves again and they're reconnected.
Yeah, they're reconnected. They've got their antenna back out and it's picking up something other than static.
So it's so awesome. So I just want to give everybody a chance to find out how to connect with you more, Slade. How do we get more of Slade?
Yeah, well, I'd love for you to come and listen to my podcast, Shift Your Spirits. You can find all those episodes at shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe to that in iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app you use to access podcasts, or you can listen to it on your phone, just in your browser. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your spirit guides, you can go to SladeRoberson.com, and it's right there front and center. If you're interested in my professional intuitive training, you can start that course for free by downloading an attunement at automaticintuition.com.
Yeah, your website's really beautiful, and you have a lot of cool free things and easy to get things, and I recommend that everybody check out Slade's website. So thank you so much, Slade, for being on my radio show. It was such a pleasure to speak with you.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm honored.
Thank you. And if you guys want to find me, you can reach me at my website, lisacampion.com. And thank you so much for joining us today on The Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time here on Empower Radio.